or January. So there is no legal definition in Maine law right now about a drift management plan. The original proposal did contain an idea that maybe if applicators working in categories, the right-of-way categories and the vegetation management categories should work in accordance with a drift management plan. But the testimony and the finding by the board was, you know what, that this drift rule is already so comprehensive and stringent that there isn't much more that you could put in a plan that you're not already required to do by this rule. So they just found that it wasn't a value-added, I guess, amendment, and so they decided not to put that in. But that was the variance. What the variances that we've been issuing for 27 years essentially said, you don't need to identify sensitive areas along the roadway, for instance, or along a railroad or a power line, provided that you publish notification in a newspaper or something to that effect, which we've found not to be particularly effective, and or to use a drift management plan. But again, both of those seem to be obsolete concepts by the findings of the board.
So if the railroad that runs through my property is going to be sprayed with pesticides, the only notification that I would get is through a newspaper ad?
Well, you wouldn't get,
get any notification.
There is no requirement, at this point for any notification related to. Now, what is the practice of the railroads? They have been notifying every municipality, and they have been publishing in Maine's major newspapers if they were in the area that would, you know, cover. Now, will they continue to do that? I don't know. But again, nobody seemed to be paying attention to those notices. We never got any calls from anybody about those notices, and that's our measure, because those notices would always have our phone number in them, and we were never getting any calls. So the board just made this determination that newspapers seem to be kind of an obsolete way of notifying the public, if you look at the statistics about how the public gets its information. The way this is proposed now, there would be no requirement for any public notice around railroad spraying.
Okay. And how would you how would you identify a sensitive area if you didn't have the variance? I mean, we'll be eliminating that if we do
again,
this, but how would, I guess I should ask a more pointed question. How would an organic farmer know if there's a railroad that runs through his or her farm, if there's a right-of-way that runs through his or her farm? If there's no way to identify that that might not be a place where you want to spray, is there any?
Well, I think again,
protection to the organic farm from that drift?
You can ask
through their farm.
You have to ask to be notified.
Okay.
But as I think about what was the purpose of the identifying the sensitive areas, it was contemplating pesticide application techniques that have a propensity to move off target and drift. So you might think about crop dusters, for instance, or you might, if you know, have been involved in orchard production in any way, they use a piece of equipment called an air blast sprayer, which has a huge fan that propels small droplets up into the tree canopy. Most of what we were trying to accomplish around the sensitive area identification requirement was looking at these types of applications that have a propensity to create droplets and release them high enough in the air columns so that there is a reasonable probability that they're going to move off target. And so in those, and also it was the scale of the application that we were thinking about. If you're spraying 100 acres, you know, it's just different than spraying somebody's back lawn in terms of how much material is used. So I think what the board has concluded is that if you look at how they do railroad spraying, this off-target movement via pesticide drift is not something that they're concerned about, because with most herbicide spraying, you do not need a fine droplet, as opposed to, a lot of times in agriculture, you do need a fine droplet because you've got to completely cover the surface of the plant in order to protect it from fungi or some of the smaller insects. So I think the board has looked at the type of applications that happen in terms of vegetation management in the case of right-of-way and some of the other municipal and commercial industrial settings, and realizes that propensity or potential for off-target drift is just significantly reduced to the point where you can almost see a line where that distinguishes where the herbicide fell and where it doesn't fall. So I think what they found was, A, that it's not a value-added requirement, and B, that if you think about what we are asking them to do, which is to go out 500 feet from where they spray, they would have to have an army of people on the ground on either side of the railroad track, marching through, looking for wetlands, looking for wells, looking for springs, looking for all the 13 different types of sensitive areas that are defined in rules. So we just couldn't find a way to do it. You can do a little bit of that by aerial mapping, but you can't see down through the tree canopy. So we just, the board looked at that and said, you know, it's just not serving a meaningful public purpose at this point, because these types of pesticide applications don't have that propensity to drift.
Thank you. You all set? Okay, we have Senator Saviello, and I think Representative Black, you were here the first time around? Good. I had a full house on the left, and now we have a full house on the right. And Representative Chapman, so would you two gentlemen, the representative and senator, introduce yourselves, please?
Yeah, I'm Ralph Chapman, representing House District 133, 6 coastal Hancock County towns of Blue Hill, Brooklyn, Brooksville, Castine, Sedgwick, and Sutton.
Senator Tom Saviello, Senate District 17, all of Franklin County except for 4 towns. And Henry, thanks for calling me obsolete since I helped write these rules in 1988.
Okay, we have, just to bring you up to date, as we vote, we've had a hearing on LD 201-203, and we're into a work session by a vote of the committee, and the motion is ought to pass. If there are no further discussion, then we... Question. You have a question?
My question is just addressed to... there are a few committee members who have organic farms, and I just wanted to know if there's anything you've heard that concerns you or not.
Okay.
Representative New?
I will, excuse me, I'll take care of that. Representative Noon, you would like to speak? Is it, anybody have the mic on?
It's okay now.
He's okay. Yes, we have an organic farm, and I would not want anybody coming in and spraying it, but we do not have any rights of way across it. So, looking out for myself, I guess I'm okay, but looking out for you, I don't think you are okay, because it sounds like they can spray right down the line.
Any further questions from the committee? Yep. Representative Kenny.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. I too have an organic farm, and it did concern me. At one time I had read that we don't have any rights. If they need to spray for pests, they're going to do it. And the only way, as Mr. Jennings mentioned, we have to be the ones to be proactive and find out what's going on, which is what he's saying still is the case. And I think we should work with our certifying agencies to see if we can get possibly some recourse to come back to us, so to protect us, so that the spraying doesn't nullify our organic certification in the future.
Question, Representative Hickman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question is for Representative Kinney.
Please don't direct it directly. They don't have to answer questions. What is your question? And
The question is, do you believe that there should be some requirement for notification before a right-of-way that runs through an organic farm is sprayed? That is my question.
Is there anyone on the committee who would like to answer that question?
Well, I'm in a unique situation too, I'm not in a situation like you're in. I think it would be something that maybe working with organizations like MOFCA or other groups that do certify, and maybe it should become something that we put through as legislation in the future so that we can protect our organic farms. They're becoming bigger and bigger parts of our agriculture in the state.
Senator Dill?
I will just throw the question out. I would expect, perhaps, Senator, that Mr. Jennings might be able to answer this. Is an organic farm considered a sensitive area when you have to look out for commercial spraying?
Mr. Jennings, join us at the mic here, and maybe you could help answer that.
Well, there's two different questions really floating around here. One is, are organic farms protected? And the other is, do you get notified? Organic farms are specifically protected in the drift rule in a couple of ways. One is that any agricultural land is defined as a sensitive area, and so it requires under the drift rule special precautions be taken. But also under the drift rule, it is a violation to cause or to have spray drift onto an organic farm in such a way as to cause it to lose its organic certification. So there's already, and this is the drift rule, there's our organic farms already have special protection under the drift rule. And so if there was drift that in any way caused that the organic produce thereon to lose certification, then it's a violation already.
I know in the 125th we had a lot of discussion on drift, if you remember, and on distances and that sort of thing. Yeah.
We probably have one of the strictest drift rules in the country, and we're just trying to update it a little bit.
Okay. Senator Dill may have a question for you.
Yes. If I may follow up, Senator. So, Mr. Jennings, if I am spraying along the railroad, what is the right-of-way distance, do you know off the top of your head, on each side of the tracks? Because what I'm trying to determine is, in the case of Mr. Representative Hickman, it would appear that the tracks go right down through his property, and I know he's probably, there's a right-of-way, so he can't plant within the right-of-way either. So anything beyond that right-of-way, though, would be the drift area. So I'm just trying to figure out what amount of property does he have concern about.
I'm not 100% sure I would suspect it's not always the same, but if you think about a railroad, there's this rock bed in which the rail lies on, and they call that the ballast area. And they typically are spraying the ballast area. And then there is another piece of property adjacent to the ballast that is generally part of that right-of-way, and I couldn't tell you exactly. I think the typical spray pattern, if you're spraying the ballast, I think is 18 feet, 9 feet on either side of the center line. I may be wrong about that. But sometimes they are required to do vegetation management further out than the ballast. And the railroads have a number of rules around fire hazard that they have to deal with, and so they're required by the forestry laws to keep vegetation back away from the track so that there's sparks that come up when trains go by, and so there's a fire hazard. So I know at times they need to keep at least the woody brush down in that area that's adjacent, but I don't know exactly how wide it is. It's probably they have to deal with, and so they're required by the forestry. If it's it may be somewhere, two chains or something like that, which is 16 feet or something?
66 feet.
And what?
66 feet.
Feet is a chain, so it wouldn't be two chains. And, so I don't know exactly what it would be, but I think it would, it's going to be, I'm going to say it's going to be something like that, maybe.
Be 33 feet.
Right.
Half chain from the center line.
Something like that, possibly. But then, again, that is... and the right-of-way in general. They may actually own the track in some cases, but that's the same way with roads. Sometimes they own the road, sometimes it's a right-of-way. But.
Thank you.
Representative Hickman would like to know if there's anyone in the room that's a certified pesticide applicator, commercial applicator. Are you willing to come up to answer a question? It's up to you. You're not required to. You're not.
More than happy to.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Tell me your name, please.
Devin Moore with Lucas Tree Experts Company out of Portland, Maine.
Thank you.
Also, on full disclosure as well, I'm also the chair of the Board of Pesticide Control here in the state of Maine.
And what is your...
In your work, if you were on a street that runs through an organic farm, and the organic farmer came to you and said, from this point to this point, are you required to spray? Could you maybe not spray? Is that something that happens in your business? And if it did, would you comply with that request, or would you be required to spray through that right of way?
No, absolutely. I mean, we would 100% comply with that request under both circumstances. One is that, you know, in the interest of customer relations, you know, we're going to do everything we can around your property to make you as a customer of any municipality or utility company happy. But, you know, it's also a benefit to our public relations to comply with those requests as well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any further questions? If not, the motion on the floor is ought to pass, and that's for both LD-2003. All those in favor, please state by the usual sign, ought to pass. And it looks like a unanimous vote. There's no opposition. Oh, you had your hand up, right, Senator?
Yeah.
And so the motion carries.